Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, let's see if we can move past verse 1 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've been camping on verse 1 for quite a while, and with good reason. But we need to move on into verses 2 and following. Thank you for joining me on the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, February 16, as we are talking about the reality of apostasy. The fact that there are people who will reject the truth of the Bible after having said they believed it, and will do so from the vantage point of being professing Christians. Here's how it is described in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I think we have thoroughly examined verse 1. Now we go on to verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. The first part of verse 2 tells us in part what apostates do. The last part of the verse tells us in part why they do it. What do? They speak lies. And we are told here that they speak lies in hypocrisy. To speak lies in hypocrisy, of course, is to do so knowing that you are not telling the truth. There is a deliberate determination to speak that which is not true. To speak that which you yourself do not believe to be true. But nevertheless, to do it for whatever reason, for whatever motive. Sometimes people have just got a chip on their shoulders. They have had some kind of an unfortunate experience in their life, maybe a bad experience in a church, with a pastor, with a deacon, with a Sunday school teacher, with a choir member, with a church or somebody in the church, and they are so angry and unable and unwilling to resolve this matter in a biblical way that they determine that they are going to get even one way or another, and so they do that by undermining the Christian faith. These people who once said they believed it, they were, and maybe still are in some cases, members of the church. They professed to believe the Bible. They professed to believe Christian doctrine, but now they are deliberately endeavoring to undermine Christian doctrine and to damage the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe in particular the church that they were a member of, the church that they believe has done them wrong, or maybe a school or organization or who knows what, maybe some kind of a loose organization or movement. They are doing their best to bring damage. They are telling lies in hypocrisy. They know that what they are saying is not so, but they're saying it anyway because they have a grudge, an axe to grind, a grudge that they are trying to work on, a score they want to settle. So, what are they doing? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Many times, these lies will have to do with deliberate efforts to undermine the Christian faith. They are trying to damage people's trust in the Bible. They are trying to shake people up. They are trying to get people to doubt what they believe or what they once believed. They are deliberately trying to sow doubt. Sometimes the lies they're speaking have to do with the reputation and character of the individuals that they're trying to harm. They will deliberately tell lies. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. You can't hardly live in this world without having that happen to you on some occasions, and in some cases, unfortunately, many occasions. Pretty difficult to get through life without having that happen to you. It certainly has happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. And I'm sure that it's happened to me and to you sometimes when we didn't even know it, still don't know it. Somebody told lies about us and turned somebody against us, and we don't even know what was said. We don't even know for sure that's what happened, but it very likely could be. Sometimes there are people that you've had a good relationship with, and then just suddenly, without explanation, that relationship cools off completely. They don't come and tell you that they have a problem. If you speak to them, they'll speak to you, but you can tell that there's something different. There's something wrong. Something has changed their opinion of you, evidently, from the way they are acting. You have no way of knowing what happened, but it's very possible that somebody wanting to ruin your reputation told them a lie about you, and of course they have no way of knowing it is a lie, so they believe it. How do you defend yourself against something like that? You can't. You can't. You have to leave that in God's hands. I had to come to realize many years ago that my reputation is in God's hands. God is able to protect it and preserve it. God is able to allow it to be damaged, and God is able to do something in between. And in most cases, I think God will allow us to have something in between. He won't allow us to have as bad a reputation as some people would like us to have. If we are His children, He probably will not allow our adversary, the devil, and his emissaries, oftentimes people not knowing that they are serving Satan, God will not allow them to do as much damage as they would like. But sometimes He will allow them to do enough damage to keep us humble, to keep us prayerful, to keep us dependent upon Him, to remind us that we are vulnerable. We cannot go it alone. We cannot protect ourselves. We have to depend upon God completely, and this is a reminder of that in these areas of our reputation. You'll just have to give it to the Lord. Now, in those cases where you know that someone has smeared you and you have opportunity to know about it, somebody tells you about it directly, you have an opportunity to follow up on it. And no doubt you should do that. Sometimes somebody will bring you a tale. Do you know what so-and-so said about you? Oh, dear. How do you handle that? Well, you need to ask that person if they believe what was said. No, I don't believe that for a moment. Did you tell the person who told you that you don't believe it? Ooh, maybe so, maybe not. In a lot of cases, not. Why not? Well, will you go to them and tell them that you talked to me about it and that it's not true? Well, most people won't do that because people who spread tales are generally cowardly and they're not going to do something like that. Well, will you go with me to talk to that person? Pretty hard to approach somebody and say, I heard that you said so-and-so. I'd like to talk to you about it. If you don't have the person with you that they told it to. Pretty difficult to do that. So a lot of these things are very difficult to follow up on, but sometimes you can. Sometimes the person who told you will be a person of integrity, and they will say, yes, I'll go. And so now you make arrangements to go, and you go to that person, and you say, Sam told me that you said this to him about me, and that concerns me. I needed to talk to you about that to find out where you got that information, where you got that idea. And talk to them about it kindly, graciously, in a Christ-like way, but try to track it down and to deal with it if there is a biblical and honorable way to do so. We ought to try to mend fractures in the body of Christ between believers whenever we can. A lot of times you just won't be able to do that. I may have told you about something that happened to me. Oh, it goes back so many years, and I'm trying to remember. It has to go back more than 30 years ago. I was a very young pastor, new in the community. And another pastor, an older pastor, came to me and said that somebody, he gave me his name, had told him and other people that I was cheating on my wife. Wow. I couldn't imagine anything that would be more destructive to my reputation and ministry than that. Now, I was younger then, and I didn't know very well how to handle this. I should have asked that pastor to go with me. I should have asked him if he had denied it. And I think he actually told me he did. I told him that that isn't true. But anyway, he gave me the name of the person and maybe even the address, or I was able to look up the address. I went to that house two or three times to talk to that person, wanting to, hoping to, though there was another side of me that really didn't want to because this is not an easy thing to do, but I never could find them home. Finally, I called a pastor friend of mine that I highly respected, a much older, wiser man, told him what had happened and asked him for advice. What would you do? He said, if I were you, I would just make sure that I am seen frequently in public with my wife, that everybody can see that we're together and have a good relationship. He said, I think that rumor will die its own death. And you know what? He was right. That's exactly what happened. I never heard another thing about it. I never heard anybody else repeat it. I never heard anything more about it at all. Where did it go? I don't know. Rumors like that have a way of spreading like wildfire, but for some reason, that one seemed to just die. My reputation is in God's hands. Your reputation is in God's hands. You'll just have to come to terms with that. If God wants you to be well thought of and highly esteemed, then He will arrange that to be the case. If God wants you to be ill thought of and poorly esteemed, then He will arrange for that to be the case. And as I say, He'll probably arrange for it to be somewhere in between. Well thought of by some people, poorly thought of by others, and that's for another reason. I've already given you one, but one reason for that is so that you won't get the big head. If everybody thought well of you, you might just get the big head. If everybody thought poorly of you, you might just get discouraged. So you have some of each, and that kind of keeps the balance. If you have too many people applauding you, you get the big head, and then you get a few people who have the opposite position, the opposite attitude, and that brings you back down to earth. Well, apostates, they are speaking lies in hypocrisy. That's what they do. And tomorrow we'll look at one of the reasons why they do it and some other information about those who depart from the faith as revealed to us by God through Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.